Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. My name is Joker, and tonight we're going to be talking about resilience, having a thick skin. It's kind of a requirement nowadays, and the reason why I wanted to do this topic is because a lot of news stories have come out, and I'm going to cover them very quickly, that just kind of make you say, man, things are going to get really bad. And it's easy to, because I feel this myself, it's easy to start feeling like you're hopeless, like things are going to get a lot worse before they're going to get better. And they are, I think. I've gotten letters and messages from some of you guys that are like, oh, you know, I'm having a hard time with dating. I'm afraid of getting old alone or being alone for a good portion of my life. I don't want to die alone. How do I find meaning in life? A whole lot of questions. And I think a lot of it boils down to stoicism and resilience, having a thick skin and not letting things bother you. I'm not going to talk about the stoicism. I did that a few months ago, and I'll hit again on it at some point. I do have an article I'm going to read from, but I'm going to read a little bit of the article, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about me personally. And I don't normally just go, oh, here's a story about my life, because a lot of you are new viewers and you're like, I don't care, dude, just read the story and move on. So some of you guys want to know about my personal stories. Some of you want to know about whatever article I'm reading from. I'll mix it up for you guys today. And I was going to put a woman up here in a bikini chainmail for the thumbnail for you guys, because, hey, we're guys, we like looking at women. But then I'm like, well, that's not really a thick skin, and that's not resilience, because the bikini didn't cover much of her body. So I went ahead with the Spartan Warriors because. All right, first story. Sadiq Khan, who's the mayor of London, moves to ban body shaming ads from London Transport. London mayor wants to stop running ads that promote unrealistic body expectations and demean women. And this is an ad that's Are You Beach Body Ready? And it shows a woman that is healthy weight. Nothing really, like, she doesn't have a six pack. She doesn't have muscles everywhere. She's just like most Northern European, or I guess I should say Eastern, Northeastern European women. Like, I ran into 1,000 women a day that looked like this in the Ukraine and in Poland and in other areas. Here in the United States, not so much. Most girls are a little bigger than this now, but it's not really unrealistic. But the funny thing is the body expectation that demean women, not men. If they have a gym poster that's up and it's a male physique and he's rippling with muscles, well, that's not demeaning, you see. And I think part of the reason why this is happening is that there's two camps of viewpoints on the world. One is, and we call it locus, and they talk about it a little bit in the article coming up, where it's like, you know what? That person looks great. I don't look as good. So I'm going to keep the control out of my realm and just say it's out of my control. So now I just need to shame that poster or that company or that person for looking good because they make me feel bad. And that's letting your control of your life be outside of your realm. Then there's a lot more men, I think, do this where they say, you know what, that poster of that muscular guy and everything, I wish I looked like him. And that would be the end of it. But to some men, they look at that and they say, you know something? I really need to get back to the gym and work out. I know women like that body. I know I'd love to look like that. I need to hit the gym. But what men don't do, at least most men, unless you're on the yay girl power camp, most men do not go, I'm going to contact that company and shame them to remove these ads. That's having inner control, saying, you know something? Hey, that person's done great for themselves. I may be jealous of it. I may aspire to be that. But the reason why I'm not like that is because it's my fault or it's my doing. I have no one to blame but myself. That's the difference between inner and outer locus or control of your life. So now, you know, no more of these posters, but I guess you'll be able to see men still. So there you go, women. This is unrealistic if you're going to look like a, you know, I guess this would be what, 55 kilo, maybe 120 pound woman. I guess that's out of your control now. Police in England and Wales to record misogyny as a crime in wake of Sarah Everard. I'm going to read these next couple and then I'll talk about this. Is wolf whistling a crime? Misogyny could soon be against the law, and this is again in UK. But is it the right way to protect women from creeping, you know, encroachment of women, or will it just turn them all into victims? Eight writers have their say. And then the last one here, pollster rebrands, asking women on a date or complimenting her looks is pestering them, is the, you know, the usual pestering, akin to grabbing them or taking a up their skirt photo. And this is what my, I didn't want to do a full story on this because it's kind of been covered a lot in the manosphere. But one of the things that's important here is it's a creep. We always know how this creep goes. First, it's, okay, if a man commits a crime against a woman, we're going to also add that it's an additional crime, that it's hateful. We're going to add that on there. And then pretty soon it'll be, yeah, but what if they didn't commit any other crime, but maybe they grabbed her or inappropriately looked at her? And like she says, asking a woman on a date or complimenting her looks, maybe. So what's going to happen eventually is men are literally, to be safe, and I say this partially sarcastically, but not really, the way these laws are going, men are going to have to walk down the street, and when they see a woman coming, they're going to have to go like, just look up, look away, kind of glance out of the corner of your eye to make sure you don't run into anything, or have a mirror you can hold up and walk by like they're Medusa, because God forbid you look them in the eye, they'll turn you to stone or send you off to jail. You'll have to look in the corner and walk past her. Do you think this is going to make women happy? Do you think women are going to be pleased that every man in existence is now afraid to talk at them or look at them? Because what's going to happen then is if a woman then wants to go out with a man or finds him attractive or interesting, or she wants to go on a date, she's going to have to ask him. And there's going to be a lot of men that say, I'm not so sure. You might say I did something wrong or said something inappropriate. I might be in trouble. And you know, until women step up and say, no, we don't need this kind of protection, stop being over-aggrandizing, until women do that, because if men do it, it's part of the patriarchy, until women step up and do that, this is going to be the way it's going to go. And again, it's a creep right now, but here it's only been a few months. It's only been a few months, and already we can see how things are starting to get swung way out of control. One creepy bad cop that did something horrible to this woman. And now it's not police, it's not criminals, it's all men. All men have the ability to do this, you see. So when I see stuff like this come out, there's a lot of, and I'm going to do an episode right after this one. I'll post probably later on tonight or tomorrow, where I'm going to talk about literally, and I'm using that word a lot tonight, but I mean it literally, where I'm going to build a cabin in the woods. Like, I'm going to buy some land. I don't know how much I can afford. I'd have to look, and it may have to be away from civilization, but I'm going to buy some land, and I think I'm just going to get out of civilization. I really mean that. At one point in time, I loved living in a downtown, in a city, and it had the bustling, and it was easy to get dates and go to a coffee shop. And now with everything going on, there's just more and more of me that says, I just want to get out of this. So let's read about resiliency, about having a thick skin, being tough. And maybe this will answer some of you guys' questions, and I'll add in some of my contexts in there. But I never like just saying, oh, here's a story about me, because I bore myself with my own stories, so I would never put you through one of them myself. It says, have you ever wondered why some people remain calm in the face of adversity while others crumble? People who are able to effectively navigate the highs and lows of life have what psychologists call resilience, or an ability to effectively bounce back from adversity. Whenever you come across a difficult situation, you have two choices. You can either let your emotions get the best of you and become paralyzed by fear, or you can uplift yourself from the negative and transform pain into possibility. Even if you consider yourself to be a happy person, it is inevitable that you will encounter challenges at some point along your journey. These experiences may bend you, but they do not have to break you. I'm going to stop here for a second and say this has been around for a long time. It's part of Stoicism. Stoicism teaches one to look at things from a rational understanding and try to understand the situation rather than to get emotionally involved in them. Some good examples. Somebody calls you a name. Somebody calls you, criticizes you, but you don't know them. So they're their opinion of you doesn't matter. Things kind of get you down a little bit because things seem unfair. Like, oh, it's so unfair that this has to happen to me. Why does this happen to me? Again, that's you letting the outside world control you. By bringing the control of your life into yourself, you can navigate some of these problems. Now, that doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen to you, but when they do, you can say, this is a crappy situation. This is a problem. How am I going to deal with it? What's a good, rational way I can work my way around this? And I'll share some stories about how that's happened to me. Building resilience is the key to turning challenges into success. All of us have the power to develop a resilient mindset. Just like a muscle, it needs to be conditioned and strengthened every single day. Sometimes it takes hitting your emotional threshold before you're able to tap into your personal resilience. What is resilience and why is it so important for success? Good examples that most of you have gone through. You got unfairly fired at a job. You were broken up with by somebody that you loved, or they cheated on you, or they left you, or I can't think of any other great examples off the top of my head, but something happens to you that's out of your control. How do you internalize this, and how do you say, well, I'm going to move on, right? And the struggle is to realize that if something happens like that, in many cases, there's nothing you could have done about it. So worrying about it, being upset about it, being angry about it, lashing out about it, doesn't do you any good. It may make you temporarily feel better in the moment, but in the long run, it's not going to get you, just not going to get you anywhere. And I think the more times this happens to you in life, you're a little bit more seasoned. You're a little bit more used to it. And so it doesn't affect you nearly as much. And I think that's why people, as they age, and the more things that go wrong in someone's life, and the harder a life they have, as they get older, their life isn't really any easier than everybody else's. It's just that they've become able to understand what's going on, and they have a good way to kind of work through it without being emotional. So let's read down a little bit and see what they say. What is resilience? The construct of resilience has its roots in the field of developmental psychopathology during the 1970s. In the course of studying children with psychiatric disorders, psychiatrists and psychologists noted that a small number of children did not display the expected maladaptive behaviors. Instead, they developed behaviors that were within the normal range of social development. However, it was the studies of children of schizophrenic parents and the findings that some children thrived despite their high-risk status that led to the expansion of research on resilience. These included multiple adverse conditions, including socioeconomic disadvantage, parental mental illness, maltreatment, illness, and catastrophic life events. During the late 1980s and 1990s, research on resilience revealed it to be a much more ordinary phenomenon than it was first thought to be. The construct of resilience evolved to presume exposure to significant adversity. I read a book by David Goggins, and I've mentioned this before, and I think it's called Can't Hurt Me. And David Goggins is a man that was running ultra marathons with a heart problem. He became a Navy SEAL. He went and tried, I think he tried for becoming a Green Beret, but he made a mistake somewhere in the training. But anyway, this man had adversity after adversity after adversity thrown at him, and he worked through all of them. And all of it was just by mental fortitude. This is really not dating back to the 1970s like this says. Maybe the study is, but this still goes back to Stoicism. This has been around for millennia. And it's again, taking life's circumstances and saying, I don't think this is fair. I don't like how this is working out for me. How can I work through this unemotionally? Once you're able to do that, then you'll be able to, it's almost like being on the outside looking in at your own life. I know that that's kind of hard to explain, but I'll give you a good example for me. It was when I made the decision, I had a job that I really loved, being a network engineer. But at the time, things were changing, policies were changing. A lot of the new creep of not equality, but equity was coming through this company. And I said, you know, I'm not really feeling this. And I got into a disagreement with my boss. And I started thinking, like, is this really the way I want to live the rest of my life, going in, working behind a desk for 12 hours a day, maybe just barely having enough time to hit the gym and walk my dog. And then on the weekends, sometimes I'd even have to work. It was a lot of money. I stashed it away. But in the end, I realized, you know what, this isn't for me. And without thinking, I kind of quit in an emotional way. I said, you know what, I've had enough. Here's my laptop. I had wiped it. Here's my laptop. Here's my badge. I'm done. I'm just out, because I was fried. And driving home, I kind of thought to myself, that was stupid. That was really stupid. You don't have another job lined up. You have nothing planned for the rest of your life. But in that quick moment of stupidity, something really was born out of that, which was my freedom. I'm now free. I'm free to do whatever I want. Now, after that, I decided to tour around the world. I decided to build a bus. My life took a complete change course of action. But even though that was emotional and it was something stupid, afterwards, when I settled down a little bit and I said, okay, let me look at my finances. Let me look at my long-term life goals. Let me look at what I want to do in life. Then I logically looked at everything I had done and said, okay, maybe that wasn't such a bad mistake. And I took my life in a new direction. Same thing happens when you get in a relationship where somebody hurts you, or you're not the one doing the breakup, and it emotionally impacts you. Where men get into trouble is when they react emotionally. They cry, they freak out, they call her a million times or text her, and why can't we work this out? And when men get emotional, they tend to fall apart. But when you can separate the emotion from the logic and use your brain, not your heart, so to speak, but your brain minus the emotions, to work through a problem, almost always you will make the right choice. When you act emotionally, oftentimes you make the wrong choice, which is why I think men, in many cases, work through issues better than women do, because many times women can react to something emotionally where men act logically. Not always. And especially if a man is in a bad headspace, they can act emotionally. But when they come from a logical place, usually it works out a little bit better. Multiple definitions of resilience. To date, there is little consensus among researchers about the definition and meaning of the construct of resilience. In the last decade, the concept of resilience has shifted. It was once confined to a set of stable individual traits. However, the concept shifted to an outcome and dynamic process dependent on interactions between individual and contextual variables evolving over time. Today, resilience is commonly referred to as the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress. This definition captures the bounce back characteristics, which reflects one of the central characteristics of resilience. On a personal note, well, not a personal note, but on an article I read, I did talk about this to one degree. They talked to people that had won millions of dollars, and they talked to people that were healthy at one point and had become para or quadriplegic people who had been partially paralyzed. They found that initially the people's happiness that were paralyzed went way down, but over time bounced back up to pretty close to where they were before. In the inverse, people that had won millions of dollars were extremely happy, but over time they wasted it, or they spent it poorly, or they didn't plan well, and eventually they ended up just about as happy or unhappy as they were before winning it. This also goes back to how many times I've said, like, oh, you might get a new video game or a new graphics card or a new whatever, and after you've owned it for a while, it just kind of becomes yours. It just kind of is what it is. You're always going to bounce back to where you normally are. Now, this is good, but it's also bad. If you're normally an unhappy person, it will take you a lot more effort to lift you up and set your new standard at a higher set of happiness. It can sometimes take multiple years. And what happens, I think, is many times people will get a little bit happier, but it's tiring and it's exhausting and it's stressful and it takes a lot of effort, and they kind of settle back to where they were. But the good news is, if you can't elevate yourself up to a higher plane, then when things happen that kind of bring you down a little bit, it doesn't take you too much to kind of bring yourself back up again. And the way you do this is by setting short and long-term goals, by achieving those goals and by continually pushing yourself forward with progress. And I can get more into that in a minute. The importance of resilience. Ever-increasing demands on time and energy have created an environment where people feel overwhelmed and unable to manage the high expectations of their daily lives through problem-solving skills or coping strategies. As a result, people find themselves constantly multitasking, chronically distracted, and pulled in too many different directions. If you want to stay at the top of your game in life and work, it is imperative that you learn how to successfully navigate your way through the tough times. In a study sponsored by Nationwide and Vodafone, nearly 100% of participants cited resilience as a factor in job success. Numbers don't lie. Resilience is the secret to success. Now, I didn't read below this in the article, so I'm going to talk about something here, and if I touch on something below, I apologize. But I don't know if it's been attributed to Wayne Gretzky, it's been attributed to Michael Jordan. But it's sports stars that have said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And then I think it was Michael Jordan that once said, I've lost, you know, the buzzer beater shots, the basketball shot that he took at the last minute or the last second of the game to win. He said, most of those have ended up in my team losing. People only remember the ones that I made, but they forget all the ones that I missed. But he still took those shots. You know, he still went for it, even as a buzzer beater. And occasionally you miss. The thing is that there's always going to be hard times. There's always going to be a frustration in job. There's always going to be a frustration in dating. There's always going to be frustration in some of these new laws that are coming out that are very anti-man. There's always going to be that frustration. And a lot of times it's easy to start feeling like I'm being beaten down. I look at movies and they complain about men. I look at advertisements and they show men as stupid. I read all these, you know, you guys come here and listen to me read these stories that are crazy and all these laws that are coming out, men, and it starts beating you down. But if you really pause for a moment, ask yourself this: how much of this has actually affected my life? Where I usually hear it affecting men's lives is when they say, A, when I'm trying to date and either I don't get a swipe or they turn out to be a crazy, you know, girl power activist or something like that. Or in the workplace, I got passed up for a promotion by someone else and they weren't qualified, but because they fit this demographic, because I'm a, you know, white guy, I think they got it because of this. Maybe you did lose out on a job like that. But then ask yourself, is this really a company that you want to work for that will pass you up for somebody that may be less qualified, but they're going to take it because it fits a certain, they can tick a certain box on a, oh, we hired this person. Again, a lot of times when something goes wrong, it can actually benefit you, but you have to have the right mindset. When I first went to work for the networking company, and I use jobs because it's relatable to almost all men, I got a job. It was a good job. It wasn't great paying, but it was entry level. But I didn't have a degree. I didn't have any certifications. I was just glad to be working for this company. So I started working for this company, and they were going to get rid of all the contractors. I was a contractor at the time. So I said, oh man, I'm going to lose my job. But the company decided to hire me on full time. Now I'm not a contractor anymore. So that layoff, even though some people lost their jobs, for me, it turned out well. Next cycle of layoffs, I got laid off. And as I was leaving my position, I reached out to a couple members that I knew at different campuses around or different buildings in the campus. And I said, hey, let me send you a cover letter and a resume, float it around, see if there's anything for me. I ended up getting a job, and it was with the same company right across campus. I started right after I left this previous job, and it was a very large increase, almost a doubling of my salary. Little things like this, and lastly, before I get into that, and then I got a promotion, and then come to find out, It wasn't the right position for me. I wasn't really thrilled at doing all the hours. I was very unhappy. So I stopped putting in a concerted effort into the job. And because of that, that's where I kind of got into disagreements with my manager. And it was also over hiring or firing people around a holiday. And I didn't want to get into all of that. And I just said enough. But because of that, because of me leaving that job, I ended up traveling around the world. And because I traveled around the world, I ran into a lot of girl power activists in Australia and in the UK, and I read a lot of articles that said, maybe this is going to be a big deal. And from that came a YouTube channel. So all the things that happen in your life, they can be bad. But if you look at it as a new opportunity, if you look at it as a new chance and a new start, a fresh beginning, you'll at least be able to take something good away from it. And in the even if it's something that's negative that happens to you and there's no positive out of it, maybe you learn something. And if you can learn something from it and you can walk away saying, okay, at least I'm smarter, then at least there was still a takeaway. But what they say here is 100% of participants cited resilience as a factor in job success. So that means that, hey, if something happens to you, keep plugging at it. Shoot for a job that you think you're qualified for if you lost your job. Shoot for a job you're qualified for. And shoot for five that you're not quite qualified enough for, but maybe you could learn with some training. Same thing if you're out dating. And if you think that you're an average guy, then ask average girls and ask prettier than average girls or nicer than average girls or funnier than average girls or whatever, if you're still dating. Always shoot to be one better. And by doing that, again, as they say, persistence leads to success. Here are four reasons why possessing resilience is a critical life skill in today's world. Transform failure into success. In my experience, the road to success is paved with a lot of failure. It's a normal part of life. You cannot build resilience unless you are willing to fail. Let me interject here. I'm going to get to the thick skin portion of this here in just a second, but resilience really is a big part of that. That's what's under this, the thick skin. I'll talk about the thick skin portion of this last. I didn't like mislabel my thumbnail. Those who lack the ability to bounce back from adversity end up internalizing failure and inevitably giving up altogether. If you can relate this to the way of thinking, it's important to understand that failure is an event. It does not define who you are as a person. Research shows that when you try to fail, try again, and ultimately succeed, you get a nice kick from your dopaminergic. That's a new one for me. Okay, let me try this again. Research shows that when you try, fail, try again, and ultimately succeed, you get a nice kick from your dopaminergic reward system. That's a different word. This is what gives you the momentum that you need when adversity hits you like a ton of bricks. Failure is merely a stepping stone that everyone goes through on their path to greatness. You've got to ask yourself if you're willing to take bold risks in order to become the person you've always desired to be. You show me someone that's never gotten knocked down before, and I'll show you someone that may be perfect. No scar tissue, no bruises, no hard times in their life. They make it to 30, and that's the first time they get knocked down. That's someone that's going to struggle the rest of their lives. I think that's what's happening with young people today that are going through these college universities, and they're saying, oh, that professor hurt my feelings, or this post, or this advertiser, or going back to this poster on the wall that's body shaming, and yeah, it hurts my feelings. Those people are going to go through life as with the mindset that the world is against them, and the world has to change because they're not going to. But you show me somebody that keeps getting knocked down and picking themselves back up, and they fight through all the adversity, they're going to be so tough and so resilient that anything that comes to take them out, they're just going to laugh off and keep going. Develop an internal locus of control. Do you believe that life happens for you or to you? In order for you to improve your happiness in any area of your life, you have to ask yourself the difficult question, who is responsible for my happiness? Your answer to this question will determine how effectively you are able to overcome challenges in life. People who adopt to an external locus of control struggle to bounce back from life's blows. They believe the external forces determine the direction that their lives will take. Not surprisingly, this belief leaves them feeling powerless. Conversely, resilient people with an internal locus of control see themselves as the CEO of their lives. They know that they are in control of every single decision they make. When they get knocked down, they are able to bounce forward, meaning that they are able to use life's greatest adversities as springboards for success. When you do this, you become the driver of your destiny. The resilience becomes your natural state of being. And this is kind of the important paragraph that I think really made me want to read this, is that there are people that says, you know what, the man is holding me down, the system's holding me down. Those of you that have said, you know what, I lost my promotion because a woman unfairly got it. Well, what can you do about that? Can you do anything about the company? No. Can you do anything about the woman that took your position? No. What you can do is say, you know something, I don't think that was fair, but it is what it is. And now it tells me that this is a company I don't want to work for. But I'm still employed. I may not have gotten the promotion I wanted, but I'm still employed. While this happens to me, I'm going to look for another job with another company. I'm going to look for maybe chasing my dreams and doing a different job that I've always wanted to do. You pay off some bills, you pay down your credit card debt, you pay off that truck loan or whatever it is, and you start getting a little extra cash and you say, you know something? I don't like my job. I don't like my job field. I want to go do this for a living. I'm going to have to take a pay cut because I'm new to that field, even though I'm comfortable and I know what I'm doing here, but I want to do that. And so you take a pay cut and you make that leap. I have done that many, many, many times in my life. Those of you that in a couple of my videos explained some of the jobs that I've done in my life, I've done everything from DJing at a club. I worked as a gas station attendant when I was a kid. I worked at a Burger King. I was in the military. I sold electronics at Sears as a part-time job. I was a security guard at JCPenney's when I was a cop in the law enforcement. That was all before the age of 22. You know, and then from there, I ended up working in a jewelry store. I mean, like, I've done so many different jobs. And all it is I get to a point in my life where I say, you know what, I'm bored doing this. I feel like I've got it pretty well figured out. I want to go try that. So all through my life, I'd make a little more money, then restart, a little more money, then restart, a little more money. And it really took me getting into computers and engineering for me to say, okay, I can't keep doing this, or I'm going to have to work until I'm dead. Maybe I should stash some money away. But the point is that if you're good at something and you're successful, well, if you change job careers or career fields or whatever, and if you strive and you push to be successful and you do something that you're passionate about, you will be successful. Just assume so and make it happen. So as these outside things, whether it was a promotion you didn't get and somebody else got it, whether the company said you did this or a coworker, a female coworker blamed you for doing something that you didn't really do, a lot of those things are out of your control. Now, I understand when the law gets involved, it's a much different thing because then you have to go to court to prove you didn't do something. But I'm just saying in general, if you get passed over, if you get screwed over, just say, you know what? I got screwed over. It's not fair. Moving on. But the more you sit there and dwell on it and get angry about it and stew in it, you're not going anywhere. You're just feeling bad for yourself. I've done this myself. I have been in situations where I just pout and I'm angry about things. But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, like, am I any better off now than I was before I sat here all ticked off? So no, change your outlook to say, okay, that's out of my control, but what I can control, I'm going to change or fix or do. Building positive beliefs. When your world comes crashing down around you, it's easy to fall into negativity mode and we play the why me game. That's kind of what I was just talking about. However, you cannot overcome challenges in life if you think that the universe isn't on your side. Negativity will get you nowhere in life. Research shows that one major factor that contributes to resilience is the experience of harnessing positive emotions, even in the midst of especially trying or stressful time. A resilient person works through challenges by harnessing the power of positive emotions and leaning on their support system when necessary. They are able to reframe adversity into something positive, which allows them to bounce back and create realistic plans in the long term. Let's see, the last one is to help you embrace change. They'll say this much about it. Change is inevitable. It's going to change, so you've got your comfort zone, your fear zone, your learning zone, your growth zone. And a lot of people flip-flop between the comfort zone and the fear zone, and then they go back into the comfort zone. And the truth is you need to kind of push through that. Let me just say this. I'm sitting on a bus. When I came back from my travels, I bought a 2005 school bus. So this bus is 16 years old. The engine ran well. It's got 250,000 miles on it, but it's a diesel. I paid a couple grand for an overhaul of everything. So the engine's sound. The dash, I kind of pulled apart, and I gutted the entire thing. I have never built a wood frame. And some of you make fun because you're like, oh, this gap that's right over my head, that's actually a shadow. That's not a gap. I have a board that comes down that covers up my wiring down there. But there are little, if you look like right here, there's little gaps in there. The wood's not perfect. It's old cedar. And it dried and it shrank and some of it wasn't exactly square. But I got it for a good price. And you know something? Things aren't perfect. You're going to have little gaps in your walls. And I kind of dig that because to me, it definitely looks like it's homemade. It gives me a cabin feel to it. I've never done 12 volt, and I promise I will do a walkthrough. I'm almost there, guys. Like, the front end's almost done. That's the last thing I need to do. I've never done 12 volt wiring. I mean, I wired a stereo system before, but I've never hooked up a solar bank and run 10 gauge wiring for solar panels down into an inverter, or actually from the solar panels into the charge controller, and the charge controller into the batteries, and the batteries into an inverter, and an inverter into a fuse pan or a fuse box, and a blah blah blah. And I ran plumbing through here, and like, I've never done any of this stuff. I ran 110 off a battery bank with an inverter. I've never done any of this stuff. I'm not some superhero. I'm just a guy that sat here and looked it up on YouTube. I did end up blowing up one inverter because I wired it wrong, and I turned it on and I let all the magic smoke escape. And you know what happens when the smoke escapes your electronic device? You ruined it. If you let the smoke escape, it's over. I fried it, and it was a $300 inverter, and I did not get my money back because it was my wiring fault, and I sent it back to the company and they said, no, you fried it, it's your fault. So I lost $300. I've made many mistakes as I've done this thing. But the point is that you have to work through it. And the harder the problem is, the more sense of accomplishment you get when you correct it and when you fix it. Now, what does thick skin have to do with all of this? Resilience is how you deal with things that emotionally affect you, that affect your life, that affect your money, that affect your world around you. The thicker your skin is, the less that gets through to you, the less that bothers you, the less that emotionally challenges you. How do you thicken up your skin? By having resilience, and by having experience with resilience. So the more, my mouth is dry. Let me drink something real quick. The more difficult tasks that you run into in life, it doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life. It means you're going to have a hard life. But the more of those you work through, the more of those you just say, you know what, there's nothing I can do about this. Yes, I'm emotionally upset. Yes, I'm bothered by it. But there's nothing I can do. Moving on. And the more you can make positive outcomes from that, the more you realize that that resilience becomes permanent. And it hardens you, and it thickens your skin. So that if somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, you're a loser, or you're just sad, or no woman will ever love you, or, and I know some of you have said this from your families, like, why don't you have a girlfriend? Are you a loser? Like, I know a lot of you guys get harshed on. You know, I was called a nerd. I've been called a nerd, a geek. I've had plenty of name calling and people picking on me when I was a young kid. I developed a weird sense of humor. And I don't always share my sense of humor on here, but I kind of have a very self-defensive, self-depreciating sense of humor. That was my self-defense mechanism. But what I learned over the years is these were people that I didn't care about, so why would I care what they say to me? And then when things didn't happen fairly at work, sometimes I'd get a bad result, sometimes I'd get a good result, but usually the good result was for me making sure I got a good result. And after this happens to you enough, you start toughening up, and you start realizing that people can't hurt you. You don't give people enough control over your emotions to hurt you. He who cares the least wins. I've said that before. And so by caring, when somebody's angry at you, or somebody makes fun of you, or somebody calls you out or challenges you on something, you know, if you just say, whatever, dude, like, I don't care, like, just moving on. The girlfriend breaks up with you, it may crush you inside. But on the outside, you say, hey, you know what, you do your thing, moving on. And if you can fake it enough, you will make it enough. And after you go through a few of those breakups, or after you go through lots of rejections where you try to talk to women and maybe they don't respond to you, or after you interview with enough jobs and they keep declining you or not hiring you, there's a couple ways you can go. You say, you know what, I just give up, forget it, not worth it. Or you say, maybe that's not worth my investment and I should put my energy over here, or maybe I'm going to try even harder. But those things are the resilience and toughening up of your skin. Having a tough skin is just being resilient and making that part of your life, and kind of treating everything that comes at you the same way, which is just, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm in charge of my life. I'm happy with the way my life is going, or I'm not happy with the way my life is going, but I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to change it and make it happen. And if you do that, then anybody else criticizing you or calling you out or making fun of you doesn't matter, because you're on your own path and you're doing your own thing, and what other people think don't matter. I think that's pretty much, they have some final thoughts. I'll put the article below, as I always do. But big thing is, guys, you know, the problem you may run into may be individual. Maybe no one else in the world has run into this specific problem. But the more problems that you run into, the more things that happen to you, the more you work through them, the more you stay, have a positive mental outlook out of it, and you come out the backside with your strength intact and not being emotional about it and just being logical and working through. When you get to the other side, you say, you know what? I didn't know how to do X, Y, or Z, but I did it, and I've done it, and I've accomplished it. And that's one more thing I know how to do. And the more you do that through your life, and the more you challenge yourself, whether it's in the gym or at a job or in your hobbies, when you come out the backside, the more things you know, and the more things you know, the more confident you are about the world around you, about life, about everything else. That's why I don't get angry over a lot of these stories. I mean, some of them I get very angry about, but that's why I don't get a lot of upset about a lot of these stories, because it's just information to tuck away and be aware of. Don't get angry at it. Don't get frustrated with it, but just understand it and then say, how am I going to cope with this, and how am I going to move around this so that I can succeed in my life? All right, now it is time for the dating profiles of the day. I've only got one dating profile for the day today, because this is one of those where you say, when I read this, this is what makes me say I'm buying a cabin in the woods. I'm going to set up solar and water. And if I could afford 1,000 acres, guys, I would set it up so a bunch of you could move up there. I mean, I joke, but I don't joke. If I could get, if I could make a little bachelor camp, like a retreat up in the woods, where I could live full time and make some lots and maybe some small cabins or campground sites where people could come up and stay for a week or two as a retreat. And just, the rules would be like very little no fruits. Just a little bit of vegetable and dead meat on a stick, cooking it over a fire, doing it the old-fashioned way, like on skewers, only eating with your teeth and your hands, no silverware, going full tribal, right? Going full caveman. I would do that. Maybe I will someday. I don't know. But when I read this dating profile, I think you'll agree with my thinking. It's a photo of a young girl taking her photo, and behind her is a man. It says, don't mind us, just a father and daughter scrolling on Tinder. She, and they gave her name, 21. He, and it gave his name, 40. We are up for a threesome or anything casual. Now, just picture me sitting here quietly, because I know some of you only listen to this and others of you listen to it in the podcast forum that I put up over on Locals. Just picture me face-palming with like 17 palms, like 17 hands over my face. Father and daughter scrolling on Tinder, and they're into a threesome. So this father and a daughter, I guess, are looking for another man, another woman. Either way, I just... What? I should have pulled up the meme of Professor Farnsworth from Futurama, where he says, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. I don't know. When you see stuff like this, hey, you gotta laugh. Because if you don't, you're gonna join me on the Funny Farm. Maybe that's what I'll call it, Funny Farm Acres or Bachelor Paradise or something. It'll be up in the hills of Montana or something or other, and I'll make an escape for all of you men that need sanity. But I'll tell you, that's why I have a bus. Because when things get too crazy, I can drive it off into the woods. And if they get really, really crazy, I drive it off a cliff. I'm kidding. I would never take myself out. I love myself too much. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below as always. If you have, thank you very much. Best way to support me is like, comment, share, subscribe, and check out my older videos. I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. Remember, resilient. If you're resilient in all things in life, look for the positive outcome from everything. And the more you do that, the tougher the skin you will have. You get used to it. Pretty soon you'll be bulletproof. Not much will bother you. You will be a strong, confident man. And I think you'll have a lot more success in life.